This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:20 Thursday, 11th of August, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, in about 30 minutes, we'll be speaking to Tricia Yeo, CEO of Ideas, on the importance of a political funding bill. But in the meantime, let's talk about the Road Transport Act and protection for crash victims. Because a few days ago, Free Malaysia Today reported that the Federal Court, ruled that road accident victims should be automatically compensated without having to sue insurance company. So the Judge Abdul Rahman Sebli said that the provisions in the Road Transport Act 1987 should be construed to protect all motorists, including victims of road accidents. Now, these appeals came about as insurance companies had obtained a declaration in the High Court to nullify policies of motorists due to allegations of misconduct on the part of the vehicle owners.
And so what does this ruling mean for road accident victims from this point forward? The Road Transport Act also sees several amendments, one of which could see illegal motorcycle races or mud rumpit facing heavier penalties. Another amendment will make it compulsory for food and parcel delivery riders to obtain the goods driving license, that's the GDL. Additionally, it will allow more riders to work in the P-hailing industry. The age limit for riders will be lowered from 21 to 18 years old. But does this ensure proper supervision of the P-hailing service in the country, which it so sorely needs?
So to discuss the implications of the Federal Court ruling as well as amendments to the Road Transport Act, we have transport consultant Dr. Rosli Asad on the line with us. Good morning, Dr. Rosli. Now, before we delve into the decision by the Federal Court, could you tell us if this was difficult? If it was difficult in the first place for road accident victims to be compensated by insurance firms, what were the existing complications that arose?
Current difficulties lie with third-party road accident victims who may not have access to insurance details of vehicle owners. The information are normally withheld by vehicle owners. Advice given by insurance agents to vehicle owners is not to admit liability when reporting accidents to the police, unless the current reporting procedure demands such reporting to reveal the insurance details and shared with the victims. However, the authorities have such information and they must be met by law to share such information with the accident victims.
Okay, Dr. Rosli, so what do you make of the ruling by the Federal Court that victims of road accidents should be automatically compensated by insurance companies without requiring legal action to do so? What do you make of this move? What precedent do you think this will create, and how, and does this actually protect the right of road victims?
This is actually a landmark decision in the right direction, most definitely. When Road Transport Authority made it compulsory or mandatory to have insurance for first-party or third-party coverage, it is meant to indemnify victims of accidents, whether to vehicles or to the person who are injured. The victims should be automatically covered by insurers, for they already received the premium and agreed to certain coverage. So the insurers are actually responsible.
But Dr. Rosli, are there any possible legal loopholes, from this? And are there concerns that the insurance companies will be victimized by fraudulent claims?
I don't think so. I don't think there would be any possible legal loopholes from this. Insurance companies are not small players. They are mainly big companies. It's the accident victims who are currently being victimized at the moment, yeah.
The Transport Ministry is considering amendments to the Road Transport Act to impose heavier penalties on illegal motorcycle races, the mud rumpit, as well as workshops that modify these vehicles. Do you think that this will be effective, and what needs to be done to resolve this issue?
What needs to be addressed besides imposing hefty fines is the root cause of these activities. The problem stems from the fact that youngsters, especially in the lower income groups, do not have enough facilities and activities for them to do, which means they have to resort to free activities such as illegal racing on bicycles and motorbikes. Very often, youngsters, especially those from families in the B40 category come from large families with many children whose parents do not have the time to individually monitor their teenagers. More free or affordable sports and social activities need to be provided for teenagers and young adults as an outlet for those who are unable to participate otherwise. Currently, you know, facilities exist, such as racing, go-karting, in places like Shah Alam and many other locations in the Klang Valley, but the cost is exorbitant to all these families. It's well out of reach of these youngsters.
Now, meanwhile, the goods driving license could be compulsory for P-hailing drivers. What's the purpose of this license and what kind of impact would it have?
To be honest, I can't see any good reasons why good driving license must be imposed for P-hailing drivers. The P-hailing drivers themselves have voiced their opinion and they objected to this registration and making it compulsory for them to register. I can't see any good reasons why this good driving license must be imposed, except for the fact that it creates another layer of bureaucracy for the authorities to you know, register the P-hailing drivers. You know, I don't agree with this approach by the authority.
All right, thank you for your time. That was transport consultant Dr. Rosli Asad on the line with us, explaining all the recent amendments to the Road Transport Act plus the federal court ruling. Does change things, right? Probably makes it easier, much easier for accident victims to get their monetary compensation.
Yeah, definitely. I was pinpointing on what he was talking about, the GDL, the goods, the GDL license.
Goods delivery license.
Yeah, I actually have one of those.
You do?
Yeah, when I was working with my dad, we had to drive a van, but I don't see an issue with that license. It wasn't that difficult to take, to be honest. You just had to attend a 1 or 2 day course, basically to teach you good manners
which is sorely lacking in Malaysia.
Which is sorely lacking. I think everyone should get it.
I think everybody needs to get some manners while they're driving. But if we talk about mud rumpits, right, which is something that catches, you know, a lot of headlines, and unfortunately people. Bad accidents as a result of it. I wonder whether we need to think more than just the law, right? We need to question why these, and literally they're children sometimes. Why are these children on the road driving so recklessly? What causes that kind of action?
I think a lot of it also comes back down to education. I mean, there was a headline in the NST today saying that quite a number of people have dropped out and are not even taking the SPM exams. So I suppose there is that education deficit that we have.
Yeah. Of course, some people want to take a more strict approach, taking away their licenses because maybe they're not not aware of the consequences of their dangerous driving. But it's not a one-solution kind of approach to this problem. I think it's something we'll have to continue to discuss. But up next, we'll be speaking to Professor Robert Shapiro from Columbia University on the FBI raid at the Trump's residence. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.